how has your practice fared during this?
I've made some headway. Okay. I've kept up with the calls. I've kept up my production. I've gone to some getting to know you meetings. I'll tell you the biggest headway that I've made is I've had two lunches where I brought in a speaker. I did as you told me. I spoke. I've had two since we last talked, so the last month.
Good.
And I'll give you an example of the last one, which was really good. I had a client of mine who sold the local zoo here called Jungle Island. I don't know if you're familiar with Jungle Island. Well, Byrne sold Jungle Island about a year and a half ago. I'm the smallest of his three money managers. I think I've grown pretty tight with him. By the way, he told me something funny. At the end of the year, I didn't have a good year last year. I'm kind of ripping it this year, but last year was not. I don't think anybody did, but I had a poor year. And Byrne said, you know what? You're the poorest performing of my three money managers. But for some reason, you're the one I like the most.
Oh, that's funny.
And then now this year I said, how am I doing? He goes, no, you're the best performer this year. Good. That always helps. But I've grown pretty tight with him. And I think a lot of that, by the way, has to do with Supernova and contact and being on it. Right.
Good.
So I had Byrne there, and I had his best buddy, who's the former city commissioner of Coral Gables. And he was like a power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he ran Coral Gables for, like, 20 years, this guy.
And
we've become friendly for, like, a year. So we go to brunches, and I take him out to lunch, and, you know, and we had a wine event. I invite him to the wine. I've become pretty friendly with him and with his wife. This is the first time that he sat down for an investment piece with me.
Good.
Then I had another, I think he's the top commercial banker for City National, which is a big bank here in Miami. It's Miami and Broward. And I've known John for 20 years. And he's got several million dollars in it. I've looked at his portfolio, and I'm getting to a close with him. In fact, it's basically, let's meet for breakfast and let's get this thing going. So John was at the lunch. And the fourth guy was a guy who's a four-time U.S. House of Representatives guy here in Miami. And he's got a seven-figure stock portfolio. But the good thing about Gus, his name's Gus Barrero, Gus, John, and Jack, as well as Byrne, is they're all centers of influence. So,
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking when you said that. They're
all
people
of them,
that
all
know
of them.
People.
Absolutely.
Know lots of, they're all kind of politicians, it sounds like.
Well, the two of them are. And
Gus
now.
The others,
Yeah, they kind of all are. Right. They kind of all
right.
are in their way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel good about closing some or all of those accounts, raising more money from Byrne. But I think that the small lunch where I invite a client and a couple of prospects is going to be the way for me to bring people in to talk about investments. Remember, how do I talk about it? I got these relationships. When do I throw it out there? You know?
Right.
Yeah, so I think that this is a way for me to throw it out there. You know? And now we're talking about investments.
Tell me exactly how it went.
So I had a representative from a real estate fund. And the reason I've used her twice is because with these funds in our alternatives platform, okay, you can become a player with less money.
True.
I mean, if I give a $1 million to the Putnam family, it doesn't mean much. I mean, thank you very much, Al. Thank you for your $1 million. Doesn't mean much. You give $1 million to one of these fund companies, all of a sudden you're on the board. Right, because guys look at those funds, and if they like them, they'll throw in 50 grand. You know, and I came in with a million. Here's $1.5 million for you. And here's another fund. Here's another $1.5 million. And all of a sudden I'm on, wow, okay, this guy, we got a guy that really likes our fun family in Miami. So they're willing to come in and host these lunches, right?
Yeah.
And then that was the host. I came in. I talked about the market. I talked, first of all, about our alternatives platform, which is formidable at Morgan Stanley, different things that we do, including what we're going to talk about today. I talked about the market in general, opened it up for questions, had a couple questions on rates, et cetera, answered those. And then I introduced Christian, and then she got into the whole real estate side. Prior to even this happening, and I've kind of got the system down, I think, everybody was greeted, a lot of chit-chat, a couple of these guys knew each other, we talked, shared some more stories, we ordered first, I made sure to get that out of the way, and once we ordered, then I turned it over to Christian. That was kind of the format.
And it went okay with delivering food.
Yeah, exactly. Before, since I hadn't done this in so long, we got interrupted. Now we got to break the conversation. Let's order and then get back to it. And it didn't flow, you know?
And
now chit chat. Let's order first, guys. Here's some recommendations. Bang, bang, bang. Drinks ordering. Get that out of the way. Then I came in with my spiel and then turned it over to Christian. And that seemed to flow well.
Food. Yeah, the waiter was clever and not interrupting and not disturbing you when delivering meals and things like that. Clearing
not at
table.
All.
Just
not
did
at
it
all.
Beautifully, right? Yeah.
I have a perfect restaurant.
Right.
Actually, no, I don't think I. No, I was thinking if I ate with you and Joe at this restaurant. No, there's a restaurant called Mesa Mar, which is right next door. It's a fish place. It's like a high, like a very elegant fish place, and they have a room that's perfect for this. So I always reserve that room.
Nice.
So.
Now, did she pick up the lunch?
She did.
Nice.
Yeah.
And is she willing to do this more?
We have another one the 24th.
Nice. So she'll do what? How many? She'll do a couple, one a month or two
She's
months?
Willing to do up to one a month. She's willing to do one a month. And then I have another real estate fund called Starwoods. They want to jump in. And then I have another alternative fund called Alkeon, which is a great performer. They're a long-short fund. They want to jump in. We have one for August 22nd with Alkeon.
Good for you.
Yeah, so I want to do one every 2 to 3 weeks. I think that's the right tempo. Every week is too much.
Yeah.
2 weeks, maybe 2 to 3 weeks is about the right amount. And then follow up with the people that were there.
Of course.
You know, so with Burn, it's like, let's do this thing. Try to raise some money. And with the other three guys, with John, it's John. We talked about opening your account. I run a concierge service. Where do I meet you? You don't have to come to me. I'm going to come to you. You know, because it's been difficult to get him out here. So no problem. Where do I meet you for breakfast? I'm opening up your account. You know, and then from then I can go to the next thing and then drag him over to my office. You know,
right.
Same thing with Gus. Actually, with Gus, it was his birthday on Saturday, and I'm taking him to a baseball game tonight. So we're going to chit chat and have fun and talk some turkey tonight. And then Jack is to sit down and now show him the plan. Like, this is what I can do for you as your financial advisor, and what are you looking for, and how can we do business? Because we're already friends.
Right.
We're friends. How can we do business now?
Now you're going. What game are you going to tonight?
It's the Padres.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a 7 o'clock game with the Padres. Always fantastic for bonding.
Yeah, of course.
Always.
So you've got good instincts for how to do this. You know, guys suffer from this. They They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to. They can. I mean, first of all, they're not that great at the networking, and then when they do, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to introduce it. You know, it's. You're smart. You did. This is a good plan.
It's not easy, and I've been doing this for a while, and I really have been racking my head in terms of how do I shift the business mode, because when I do these wine events or little parties at my house or get together, I always want to go into business mode. Oh, by the way, a couple of other good things happened from this lunch, so you know. So in planning the lunch, right, I call my – it's a lady whose account I'd inherited 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She moved out $10 million to UBS with that broker.
Mm-hmm.
I just walked into Morgan Stanley. Well,
mm-hmm.
I find out later she lives on my lake. It's only 110 of us.
Right.
We become friendly. I invite her to my Christmas party. And since then, she's been to a Mother's Day brunch with me. I introduced somebody to her that may want to buy a piece of real estate that she's selling. So I finally said, look, I've never spoken to you as your financial advisor. I'm kind of taking care of $150,000 that she has left here in an alternative investment that she couldn't move over to UBS.
Okay? Right.
And would you be interested? She goes, you know what? Not now. Let me sell my home. But, you know, thank you for asking. But at least it was the first time we talked investments.
Yeah.
You know, and that was good. Even though she didn't bite. You know, quickly, right?
Yeah.
Then I called my CPA, told him. He said, wow, that sounds fantastic. He says, you know what? I can't go because I'm leaving out of town and wrapping things up. But here's a guy's name and number. Give him a call. He just sold his business. He might be interested in like a 1031 for some of that money. But
he made
a $4 million cap gain in selling his business. So you may want to talk to this guy. So I call him.
Wow.
We had a nice conversation. I invite him to the lunch. He can't make it, but he's teed up for the lunch on the 24th.
Good, good.
So that's another great thing. I got a referral, a great referral. You know, it's
really smart.
A lot of good things came out of that, you know?
Well, you know, when we used to do, it's called playing in traffic, right? You're out there, you've got activity going on, you're inviting people to things. When they can't make it, they still feel obligated because you invited them. So there's a lot, you've got things going on rather than nothing, right? Rather than just, you know, I mean, let's face it, just meeting with centers of influence is great, but you've got to have some excitement. You got to have something going on. And so, by meeting with centers of influence, you got something going on. You got something to invite people to. And, you know, it's easier to invite them to something like this than it is to, frankly, just sit down and talk about them, right? This is sort of a way to get to know you professionally without being, you know, a yes or a no in terms of investment. They can go to this. They can be nice. They can chat with you. They don't have to say yes or no right there. So it's sort of an intermediate experience before they sit down with the yes or no meeting. So I think it's a great idea. I mean, just think about you. You know, you wouldn't, you know, it's you don't know the guy that well. You're going to sit down and say yes or no in the first meeting. It's a little bit stressful, right? This is a nice way to sort of see you in action and see other people have confidence in you. And when you see all that, then you're sort of like,
well,
yeah, this guy.
Also, they all knew of each other, which is another good.
Right.
So it was like a power meeting. It was like a power lunch.
And like I said, you know, when birds of a feather flock together and when they see other guys that have confidence in you and do business with you, then they kind of go, oh, this guy's safe. You know, he's a player and he's safe. So I'm going to be okay here. I think it's a great idea. I really do. I think you've found that intermediate position. I'm not a big guy on seminars, but I like the idea that it's a really small, intimate lunch rather than a, quote, seminar. It's not really a seminar. It's a conversation. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Oh, no. To invite 20 people into a room and bagels and cream, and I'm not really interested in that. I'm not really interested in that. The key here is to kind of like, maybe not even to close business for Griffin. I'll close business for Griffin Capital. That's the name of the real estate fund. But it's really just to get these guys rolling, right? So like Jack Eads, I sent a text. Thank you for attending, Jack. Hope you enjoyed. Al, you always have interesting gatherings. Today was no exception. Thanks for including me, Jack.
See, it's interesting, right? These guys have all got interest in real estate. So they want to know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to get guys that are real estate guys that frankly don't think about stocks. You know, all they do is real estate. And, you know, sometimes that's a pretty good, you know, those are money guys. Even if they never give you any money, they know everybody in town. And those are the guys you need to know. And so they can refer you without even opening an account. It sounds weird, but that's true. Centers of influence can just be centers of influence. You know, they just do commercial real estate. That's all they do. They don't have any equities. So it's interesting.
So a question on prospects. Should I be treating my prospects like a client in terms of calling them monthly? Here's what's going on. How's your life? Should it be a monthly phone call?
It depends. I mean, if you can close them, clearly you close them, right? But so you can either do it informally or formally. So let's say you got a guy with $10 million and he's on the fence, right? He's like, he likes you, but he doesn't necessarily want to give up his existing relationship. And you say to him, look, let's do this, what I call a 90-day free look. It's kind of like handing you my, give you the Rolls Royce to drive for 90 days. If you don't like it, then, you know, turn it back. And so this is what we're going to do. Here's your folder in the back. Excuse me. In the back is the place for notes. Here's your place for your agenda. I've given you a sample agenda. Here's a two-hole punch. You hand them the two-hole punch because nobody has one, right? This is a medical folder. It's kind of unique. Here's information about our team and myself. Here's information, enthusiastically endorsed list, and here's information where I'm going to put all the information I gather about you. So I have a folder, you have a folder. We schedule a 20-minute phone call every month. We call it 1242. This is what I do for all my clients. Every client gets an appointment every month. Four of them are reviews of their financial plan or their portfolio, and two of them are in person. So what we'll do is we'll do three phone meetings, and then we'll do one in person at the end. And we'll just sit and think, does this make sense for both of us? You know, this has got to be a good fit for both of us. We think we do terrific work, but not everybody agrees. It's because, it's just sometimes not a good fit. So he goes, okay, great. And you do it. Now that's the formal version. An informal version is just, you tell them, this is what I do for all my clients. I call them every month. So I'm just going to put you on the schedule and give you a call. And just kind of, just show you what it's like. Even more formal is to do a mini financial plan for the guy, where you get all his information, you do some back of the envelope analysis, and then you implement it over the next four sessions. You know, in terms of making reasonable suggestions, and then send them an executive summary of what you agreed to. So those are all ways of doing the assumptive close, like, you know, you're going to do business with me eventually. Let's just get started now and show you what it's going to be like.
Do you really throw them out after 90 days?
That's where you make it. You both make the decision. Okay. You have a meeting and decide. Does this make sense? You see what I mean? It's a great way of both of you deciding whether are we going to be boyfriend, girlfriend, or are we, you know, are we just dancing here?
Okay. It's funny,
right?
Because in my life, I've been a very aggressive closer, and if there's anything I think I've been guilty of in the last few years, it's being unaggressive with prospects. I think I've let them go and haven't followed up and call them 60 days later. You know, it's been not good.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
Not good.
Especially,
yeah, not good.
This is what I found. As a financial advisor, the biggest mistake I ever made was not taking a referral seriously. Okay, somebody refers something to us, they don't seem that anxious, and so you don't follow up that aggressively. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake. You go in for the close. You assume the close. You assume they're going to do business with you. And if you don't, then you can really screw it up. Person comes back to you and says, hey, you know, I gave you that referral. What happened? You know, he really wanted to do business with you. I go, really? Shit, he didn't seem like it. Well, that's my fault, right? So, yeah, don't fail on that side. Because you've got the skills. You don't want to be a jerk, but you certainly want to be there. And just, you know, that's the assumptive part of it. You know, basically, I assume you want to, you know, you're not here wasting your time. You know, you want to do business and you need help. So let's get going.
Other than that, I'm thinking of other, you know, I was 2 days in Atlanta for training. Managing your book training. And they had a number of speakers. I'll tell you what I got out, just highlights. One was interesting. They had a lady speaker talking about prospecting in the woman's market. And I think that it confirmed to me that I don't necessarily want to do that. It confirmed that's like not my area. Like I'd rather pursue businessmen, even though I have some fantastic lady clients. Okay.
Right.
But I think you just have to be like more warm and fuzzy, I guess, in that area. You know, that's what they were talking about. It's more, I don't know. It just didn't seem like that would be something. If I got a referral like I have with the female clients that I have, great, but it isn't an area that I'm going to really pursue. And she said something interesting, which, you know, she promotes education, investment education for women, et cetera. She says she's embarrassed to say that women, even though men have gotten more investment-wise in the last, let's say, 10 or 15 years, women have gone backwards such that the millennial woman of today knows less about investing than her grandmother.
Wow.
And I thought about that, and I said, shit, it kind of does reflect the clients in my book where the guys seem like they're getting sharper,
mm-hmm.
but the women clients that I have, they're really clueless. Like, they don't know anything, you know?
No.
And anyways, I just thought that was interesting that she would say that. I don't know how... what you found in your clientele, but that's what she had talked about.
Well, I would not sell myself short. I think you are. I think you can be very, very engaging for women. I wouldn't. I wouldn't worry about that. I think you. I think women would be very attracted to doing business with you. Now, not all women, but the women that, you know, had strong husbands and want want leadership. So, and I think you're a good listener, and I think you have good skills. So I wouldn't
appreciate that.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. My brother ended up with a whole book. My brother ended up with a whole book full of women, and he was never I don't know how to say it. He was never warm and fuzzy. I mean, he is warm and fuzzy. You know, he's like 6'4", and but he's not a guy that coddles people. You know, he just, and the women just loved him. You know, because he took care of them. Told them what to do, and they did it. He was nice to him. You're sweet to him. You're nice. You're sweet. You're a nice guy. I wouldn't worry about that. I think that's bullshit.
All right. Appreciate that, Rob.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes women don't know who women are. You know, they get confused. I think women have an advantage in the sense of, and I tell them to do this, have women's mastermind groups. Women love to get together with other women. Because they just are women, you know. They just want to talk about women's stuff. And that's great for them. And that's what they should do. But a lot of women are not like that. They've had strong men. They've been around strong men. They want strong men. They want tough women. Men to, and as you say, men, you know, we just, we're interested in this crap. And a lot of women aren't. And they just want somebody to take care of them. So that would be my model.
The other thing is that I must get up the snuff on the whole social media aspect of this business, which is weird. I actually sat next to for lunch on purpose. I saw the guy sitting there, and I sat next to him. He's the head of social media for Morgan out of New York.
Yeah.
And we started talking, and I said, you know, the irony is that in my outside business activity, I'm like a social media monster. I have a marketing team. They do SEO. I have a social media person. She's actually my niece, okay, my brother's daughter. And that she has a social media company. So, like, I'm well-versed in that, but I've never used it for investing. And I got to get up the snuff on that. I've already been approved and done all the training and everything for my LinkedIn, but I have to at least start with a LinkedIn. And then that allows me to do the Facebook for Business, Twitter, and then my webpage just got set up. You know, so I have to get on that, you know, and I'm at zero almost there, right?
Okay. So here you go. This is what I want you to do. How to use Rob Knapp now most effectively. Take, you know, we talked about my new book, The Supernova Multiplier, right?
Yep.
Take, I've got it in audio form now. So I want you to, I want you to listen. I want you to listen to it, okay? To and from work. There's a chapter on social media. And in there, I talk about how these guys, Ken Shapiro and Tom Levicaro, how they use social media to leverage their practice. And it's perfect for you because you're very much like they are. And you can really take advantage of it. So that will be your homework for the next session. Okay? So I want you to listen to it. Here's what I tell you to do. Listen to it once a day for 5 days. You're going to know it. Backwards and forward. If you listen to each of the 7 chapters on acquisition, you're going to know it as well as I do. And when you know it as well as I do, you know the words to use. And the words are your tools. So it's like me giving you, you're using a scalpel that's dull. I give you a scalpel that's sharp, makes you a better surgeon. Okay.
Okay, Rob. Good stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's valuable because, you know, I can go through it with you now, but you're not going to remember it all. If you listen to it, you're going to remember it, and then you're going to have good questions the next time we talk. And you're going to put it to work, especially if you have a person that you can rely on to help you with this stuff. That's a big help. That's a huge help.
I don't use it all the time, but it's generated business for me. It's like any other tool that you use. The more you use it, the better you get at it, and the more it benefits you. It's like these seminars. These seminars, these lunches you have, the more you do them, the better you're going to get, especially if you're conscious about it. What I would do would be at the end of every session, I would meet with your gal and maybe the coordinator at the restaurant, and just for 15 minutes, sit together and debrief the event every time.
Okay.
Sit there and debrief it. We did that at the end of every seminar we did for Supernova. We sat on the stage and we reviewed all of the evaluations right then with the whole team. We went through every evaluation. And then we improved the session every time. We would make improvements, minor improvements, every single time. By the time we got to our 14th session around the country, we were pretty damn good at it. So you can do that. I really suggest that. And you might even ask the guys, you know, hey, what did you like? What didn't you like? What do you think we could do better?
Okay.
Because that's the game, right? Getting better. Why do one a month, you know, one every 3 weeks if you're not going to get better at it?
For sure.
And, you know, your own evaluation is built on enormous prejudice.
Okay. Excellent, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that's...
Next time we meet, my hope is to give you a lot of big things. That's my goal.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, listen to the chapters on social media and as many other chapters as you can, because I think you're going to get some good skill training that, you know, I can't give to you over the phone.
No.
So
that's the right way to do it. That's the right advice.
Yeah, it's really good. I think you'll get more out of that than the 2-day seminar you just went to.
By the way, I agree with that.
That's just me.
It's a corporate thing, you know. It's a corporate thing too. They invited me, I went. But
you know what's funny?
On the plane there and on the plane back, I'm reading your book. I'm reading it on Kindle. Actually, I bought an ear set, but I got a new phone at the same time, and the Bluetooth didn't work, so I couldn't listen to your audiobook, which I also bought. But I was reading your book, and I said, you know what? And I told my girlfriend, instead of spending 2 days here with Morgan Stanley, I should have spent 2 days at a library reading Rob's book. That would have been better for me. I actually told her that.
and you know what? You know what? You were right. You were right.
But that's all right. I'm going to do that anyways. So
yeah.
And I'm going to listen to it. Now I got it on audiobook, so I'm going to do both.
Well, look, you're a smart guy. You know what you're doing. You're going to put this stuff to work. For me to coach people, it's hard because some don't have the talent. Okay, you've got the talent. I can give you the skills. Talent is something you can't give to somebody. It's just a natural ability and a drive. You've got the talent. I provide some skills. And together, that way, you know, you're an Olympic athlete. I just want you to win. So I want you to win every time you go into the ring. You know, every time you go into the competition, I want you to win.
You know what? Winning to me seems more different now than it did before, because to me, at least from a asset revenue perspective, I think you start winning for me at around $2 million a year in revenue. You know, being a $1 million producer to me is like blah. You know?
Right.
I mean, I'll feel like I'm good at what I do at around $2 million, which is an executive director here, and at $3 million, you're an MD. And that's when I feel I'm really good. Like, I'm great at what I do. I'm an MD. But to produce $1.5 million a year, to me, is like, I don't know. I feel
No, that's true. No, you want to be a top producer. I mean, let's be a Barron's, you know, 100 top producer. That's the goal. I mean, why would you do something else? This is your business. This is what you do. Let's
right.
be the best at it. You've got the talent. Now it's the skills, and then it's the rituals. If you get the right rituals, you have the talent, you have the skills, all those rituals will produce what you need. And it's just a matter of repeat, repeat, and repeat. Okay? So, great job. Way to go.
Okay.
You're a wonderful son, taking great care of your mom.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Keep doing that. All right? Now, good to talk to you, buddy.
Okay, same here. Have a great day, Rob. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.